Mihi kia ora, Queen Minister. Thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We know that, you know, even though we're all in lockdown, work continues, especially for the members of Parliament. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Tēnā koe. Good to be on your show again for another week, Claudette. And just a mihi to you, first and foremost, to all our tamaki makaurau whānau, who are obviously in alert level 4. Just want to mihi out to you all. Know it's very a difficult time. But also to thank you on the behalf of everybody that's not in Auckland for the work that you are doing in terms of following the rules, getting vaccinations and, you know, just looking after each other. So ngā mihi kia koe, kia koutou.
So just behind this wall here, here at Ngā Whare Wātea Marae, we are the centre hub, the collection point for the kai, for our taumata kōrero, for the United Marae and service providers here in Tāmaki. So it's quite a bit of a hive of activity on the other side of the wall there. So, you know, mihi to them as well too. With that in mind though, Minister, we're getting... There does seem to be a little bit of confusion still, and I know that I spoke about it with during the first lockdown last year. It's around the messaging from the top stage to what we're getting in the community. So on the one hand, we're getting stay home, bubble up, stay home, which is what everybody is doing. However, one of the marae here, Marirewa Marae, the Marekura, the manager at the marae there, Natasha Kemp, said that now our whānau are not sure whether to come out of their bubble. That's one of the issues that, you know, they're hearing at the 1 o'clock, stay home, stay in your bubble. Don't, if you haven't got symptoms, then don't come out and get tested. Don't come out and get vaccinated. So that's when they're doing call-outs. That's what they're getting from our whānau. Just another, you know, little bit of confusion around messaging.
Yeah, and I totally get that, Claudette. And, you know, one of the challenges that we've had this time around than last year is we didn't have such a big gap in the alert levels across the country. So it was only ever like, you know, one level down. But because Tāmaki is still in alert level 4, so for our listeners, that means, yes, remain in your bubble unless you're having to go out and get kai or unless you're going to get a test. Or unless that you've got a booking to get a vaccination, that's really the only time you should be leaving your home. Of course, unless you're an essential worker, then the people that are moving about generally are essential workers. But if you're not in that category, then the message to remain in your bubble is still the key message.
Because the other thing that the marae are saying as an example is that you can still bubble up in your car. Because they're doing drive-through vaccinations. So a bubble is a bubble in a waka.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I just take my hat off to all those Māori hauora providers, our whānau order providers, our PI providers in Tāmaki, but right throughout the country, the stories that we're hearing and seeing. And, you know, in my own electorate, keeping tabs with all our tairawhiti kahungunu right down to Te Ati Awa here in the Hutt Valley. And just amazed with the sort of innovation to get our people into vaccinations. And of course the drive-in is a neat way to load your household in your vehicle and go drive in and get the vaccination done, provided you're 12 and over. Then that's definitely innovative, and totally support that. And in many of the Māori health providers have been doing that, and also dropping the need for bookings, Claudette. So I'm not sure how Tāmaki's doing it, but definitely in my electorate, walk-ins were most welcome. Whether you walked in or drove in without a booking, the whole point was to get Māori across the line and get them vaccinated. So, you know, whatever they're doing in Tāmaki that works, then just kia kaha koutou. And if we have to change again, then, you know, I just give everyone encouragement to do that, because ultimately we want to see those numbers rise.
Thank you very much for that. I have also had an opportunity in the last couple of weeks to talk to several mayors, several mayors from around the Motu, around the Three Waters proposal. I did have a chance to talk to some of the councillors, not the mayor though, Gisborne District Council. It appears as though the Gisborne District Council is vehemently opposed to the Three Waters project. Would I What is the sense that you're getting in your role?
Yeah. So the last time before lockdown, obviously catching up with Mayor Rihet Stultz, who's our mayor in Tairāwhiti. I think through all my mayors throughout Ikaroa Rāwhiti, Craig Little was another one down in Wairoa. And of course, we got Kirsten Wise in Napier and Sandra Hazelhurst in Hastings. So they're all at various levels of, not so much support or oppose, just seeking that more information around the proposals. And everywhere along the step, you know, they've either reached out to me and say, hey, listen, this doesn't sound right. They've been able to call Minister Mahuta. Minister Mahuta has tried to, you know, attempted to put allay some of their fears. But I think it's a massive undertaking. I think that's a comment back, Claudette, these are major reforms. And we've never seen the like of it across the country to ensure we've got safe drinking water, we're disposing of our wastewater properly, and of course our stormwater. And in big cities like yours, in terms of Tamaki, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 2 million people, this will impact. But for smaller communities like Wairoa, of course they've got several questions, and yes, they have shared them with me, and I've tried to get answers for them. But ultimately they with the council and the people that voted for them, the ratepayers will ultimately make the decision. And I've got no problems with that. All I'm trying to do is make sure they've got all the information that they make an informed decision when that time comes.
Thank you very much for that. The other issue that has arisen from some of our hapu and iwi leaders is around retrospective treaty settlements and treaty settlements yet to be completed and finalised. What impact the Three Waters will have on those?
Yeah, so the model that Minister Mahuta's led out is that the combined assets will be owned by councils. They will still own the asset, but in terms of the sort of the say over how it's utilised, she's indicated a role for iwi to be at that table. That's novel. There'll be a lot of people that are going, well, hold on. But for the rest of us members of the Māori caucus, we totally support iwi Māori sitting at the table. I think the challenge, and it was identified early on in some of the initial papers that Minister Mahuta was bringing up through the cabinet committees, was, well, if you're in an area, now that you've got, I think she's identified four regions, that's a hell of a lot of iwi. Who determines which iwi goes on the board? and so that is a serious consideration.
And of course, don't forget the urbans.
Yes, of course. Well, I try and kind of ring fence Tamaki, because Tamaki is special in its own right. But I'm talking about all our other regions which have multiple, you know, our East Coast one takes the entire East Coast, Hawke's Bay, Wellington, and goes into Nelson. that's our proposed region. So the point being, though, is the process that determines who out of our treaty partners will be part and parcel of that oversight board that Minister Mahuta is creating. Now, come back to Tamaki, because, you know, we know that you've got the most iwi in your door here. In terms of treaty rights, I think if you're settled as an iwi, that doesn't necessarily give you a leg up in terms of your right to be on that board. If your treaty claim is still processing, then definitely the Crown will know that you are a treaty partner waiting to have your claim heard. Provisions will have to be made for those iwi that have yet to settle, but excluding them simply because they haven't settled, I don't think is good policy. But again, these are all the conversations that Minister Mahuta has been is obviously aware of, and that she'll be representing that with more information to come.
Yes, thank you so very much for answering those questions. No, it's not your portfolio, but given your experience in treaty settlements and land, you know, you're the right person to ask. And just finally, because it had just happened here in Tamaki Makaurau, it was the attack in New Lynn. The Prime Minister is wanting to fast track the terrorism laws, and of course, this has grave concerns, and it has been vocalised by many Māori across the motu. They are very concerned.
Yeah, and I've got them too in my electorate, Claudette. I mean, the Te Ngatas particularly have been very vocal in the space. And, you know, I have nothing but admiration for our people being who can articulate what the issue is and make it well known, because then often our people's voices aren't heard and they don't all necessarily come through the local MP. But we've got a good relationship, tēnā ngata and I just encourage them to raise their concerns. In fact, I think she must have private messaged me around some of the attacks on her, particularly on her stance against her stance for 1080 from our own people and non-Māori that are absolutely opposed to it, because she's been so clear on her position. And look, she's raised issues with me. I've gone to the police and to ensure that, you know, those people that speak out are protected. But getting back to your point around the terrorism, I mean, of course that act was horrific. And mihi goes out to those victims that were attacked and seriously injured. But clearly our Terrorism Act, it's a fast-moving feast, unfortunately, Claudette, because as you know with law, you can anticipate what the law is trying to deal with, but when you have an act like this that comes from left field, even though he was on our watch list, you know, you've got to pull all tools to keep New Zealand and our community safe. And so, I mean, I haven't seen the details and I'm not over it, particularly over the terrorism, but if there's anything to keep our people safe, I absolutely support it. But I also know what you're saying around treaty and Māori rights and tourism, in the tourism legislation space, particularly when we saw what happened in the Tūhoe raids. And so there must be some checks and balances in terms of safeguarding the Indigenous people, Māori and Pacific people. You haven't had a really good run by our justice and our police historically, and some would say now. And so the whole point around ensuring our rights as Indigenous people is guaranteed will be definitely something that will be championed as the bill comes through.